Amen. Our reading will be taken from Luke chapter 7, starting at verse number 36. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, Luke chapter 7, starting at verse 36, and it reads, "One of these Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. A woman in the city who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating with the in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears to dry and to dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, 'If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner.' Jesus spoke up and said to him, 'Simon, I have something to say to you.' 'Teacher,' he replied, 'speak.' A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love, but the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sin?" And he said to the woman, this is Jesus, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Amen. Turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor by the hand. Look your neighbor square in the eye. Look your neighbor square in the eye and say, "Neighbor, great love. Neighbor, great love." Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, "Great Love." There's a lot to cover, a lot for us to get through. So I'm going to just go on and just jump on in. Amen? Amen. We have here a story of a Pharisee who didn't particularly like Jesus, but wanted to have him over for dinner and feel him out. And it was customary that whenever the Pharisees had people over for dinner, and they normally didn't have it within the house itself, but within their gardens or yards. And at the table, the way it would work is that when you would sit at the table, because this becomes important, they didn't have a table like we have now, where you had the dining room chairs, slide your feet under the table. You see, back then, they didn't have the shoes we wear today. They basically wore what's called sandals, which basically pretty much was a piece of leather, which has straps on it, you know, the sandals wouldn't come off your feet. So your feet were always dirty. So the custom was, when somebody invited you to their house, what they would do is have someone there, or they would provide you water to wash your feet. They would also give you a kiss on the cheek as a greeting. And it will also give you a small ointment of oil upon your head, saying, "May the Lord bless you, and as you're blessed to come into this house." that is what was customary. You see, that right there automatically throws the red flag up and let us know that this dude was trying to hoodwink Jesus while he was at his house. It wasn't that he had him there because he wanted to spend some time with him. He just really wanted to see what make him tick so he can find something else wrong with Jesus. Thank God that we know that there ain't no folk around us who just try to get close to us just to figure out what makes us. You see, I'm just so thankful as I look at this particular story that I want you to understand that I don't care how slick you think you are. Ain't none of us going to ever go on and get the best of God. Nor will you get the best of the people of God. And you know, and I am just so thankful that the Lord has built a hedge around all of us. He watches over us and keeps us all safe from hurt, harm, and danger. But let me come on back. I got to come back. Now, when you sat at the table, it was customary that it was a table that they ate from, but you didn't stick your feet underneath it, as I said. You normally laid, and because they had cushions and pillows there, you normally leaned on your left shoulder, and you took your feet and you put them behind you, because you would never have your feet close to the table where the food was. So your feet were always behind you. See, it's kind of hard for me to do it, demonstrating standing up, but Lord knows I ain't laying down right now. So that's how Jesus was seated. And that's how everybody who sat at the table, that's how they sat. But then we read about a woman who had come in, because it was okay for people to come in and listen. And they definitely wanted the sinners to come in and listen because they wanted them sinners to know how much of a sinner they were and they need to change something. I can go somewhere with that, but I ain't going to go there. Because if I do, I'm going to be off and I don't want to come on. I'm just don't stay here. So it was customary that people would come because the Pharisees wanted everybody to know that they were the intellectual of their day, Brother Mike. So they wanted everybody to listen and to be impressed by how the words rolled off their tongue. They wanted people to be impressed with how many scriptures they could quote. They wanted people to be impressed about how well they could converse about the Bible. So they just wanted folk to be impressed with them rather than to be empowered by God. Amen. And I want us all to understand, and I gotta go here for just a minute. Never think it's all about you. Amen. That whatever God uses us to do, we ought to thank him that he thought enough to use us to do it. So whatever you can do, you ought to do it to the best of your ability because the Lord is the one that blessed you with it. But let me come on back. So this woman comes and she sits and kneels by Jesus' feet behind him. Now you see how his feet is behind him? And she begins to cry. Her tears drop upon his feet. And then she wipes it with her hair. And while all of this is taking place, all of those astute people who are sitting at the table are looking and wondering why in the world is this woman of ill repute, this harlot up in here touching this man who's supposed to be a great man of God. Key word is supposedly. And then Simon, now I want you to know, this ain't Simon Peter, this is Simon the Pharisee. So don't ever get that. All right, this is Simon the Pharisee right here. Simon the Pharisee, who was the host of the party. When he saw this woman touching Jesus, he said to himself, if this man was a prophet, he would know, Sister Sarah, what type of woman is touching him. And if he understood that, he would kick her away. But before I go a little further, the one thing the Bible does not make clear is when did this woman have an encounter with Jesus. Jesus must have spoke in the town. And when he spoke in the town, this woman, who many have defined as a harlot, was there at that particular worship celebration. And Jesus probably spoke and talked about how he is the Savior of the world. He came to heal and to live and to deliver and set the captive free. That no matter how bad you think your sin is, the Lord can heal and deliver you. No matter who has dismissed you, the Lord will take you in. No matter how you think that you are lower than a worm, the Lord can lift you up again. All you have to do is come and come to me. Embrace me. And I will make a difference in your life. So this woman heard Jesus speak. And after hearing him speak, she made a change in her life. Deacon Jones, she realized she does not have to stay the way that she was. She was going to make a change, and that change was going to start right then and there. And then when it was all over, she said, I want to get to Jesus, but wait a minute. He's gone. I can't get to him right now. Where did he go, y'all? Folks are saying, I don't know. But then she gets word. He's going over to Simon the Pharisee's house for dinner. Jesus is going to be there. Then that's just where I'm going to be. And that's why when she got to Jesus, y'all, it tells us that tears were flowing from her eyes. And I want you to know that these were no longer tears of sorrow. These were tears of joy. These were tears of saying, Lord, I couldn't have done it without you. Lord, I was lost without you. Lord, my sin would have killed me. But Lord, you came to see about me. You told me I am more than what I thought I was. You told me I could turn it around. And now that I realize I can turn it around, Lord, I'm going to come and show you just how much love I have for you. Lord, I've got great love for you. So I'm going to do what they wouldn't do for you up in this house. They wouldn't touch your feet, but I'm going to clean your feet. I'm going to use my tears to clean your feet. I'm going to use my long hair to dry your feet. I'm going to take my little alabaster oil that I have, and I'm going to put it on your feet. And then I'm going to rub it on your feet, and I'm going to kiss your feet. Because I want you to know you've been mighty good to me. You did for me what I couldn't do for myself. I can't help but I go on and give it all to you right now. But I want you to understand something. Something she would not let get in her way. Mother Austin, she wouldn't let people get in her way. Now, what do I mean? There are some folk who were there who may have even loved Jesus, might have looked at her and said, it don't take all that. If she had said to somebody else who was there what she was going to do, they would have tried to convince her not to do it. And if she had looked around at how folk were looking at her and allowing them to make a decision on what she should do based on how many frowns she got, Sister Davis, rather than smiles, she would have just stayed back and just tried to blend in. But what she said to all of them who were there was that the Lord delivered me from the hell I was living in. The Lord took me from a nothing to a something. I ain't got time to try to impress anybody around me, but I am going to go and show the Lord just how much love I have for him. I'm going to go, I'm going to fall at his feet. I'm going to worship him by doing what I'm about to do. And what is that telling us today, my brothers and my sisters? If you are holding back from praising God because of what you have been in your life, only person that you are hurting is yourself. Don't worry about what other folks think about what you've done. Because everybody done something they ain't happy about. So whenever you are in God's house, you ought to go on and release it, y'all. You ought to go on and praise him. You ought to go on and thank him. Some gonna say, it don't take all that. And you know what I say? You're right. It takes a little bit more. You see, my brothers and my sisters, what the Lord wants us to understand as his people, will you love him with great love? Now, can I take you a little further? You see, this Pharisee automatically had passed judgment on Jesus. You see, Deacon George, the Pharisee didn't really like him, but just had to tolerate him long enough to find a chink in his armor. And once he found the chink, he was going to say, Deacon Bell, that was going to be his ha-ha moment. But he couldn't find a chink. But he thought he found it because when the woman came and cried on his feet, cleaned it with his hair, put the alabaster ointment on it, and began to kiss his feet. He said, if this man was who he say he is, he wouldn't dare let her touch him. I'm thankful that we are God's people and we don't think ourselves to be untouchable. I'm thankful that since we are God's people and we see folk who are in need and folk who don't know the Lord, we don't turn our backs on them, but we reach out to them. I thank God that when we see somebody come up in here who might look like they toe up from the flow up, but they said that I want you to pray for me, and you look at them like, I don't want to touch you. I'm too holy for you. So, this Pharisee thought he had figured Jesus out. You know what he was trying to say, Sister Rose, is that Jesus is a fraud. I told you I was going to get a little tight. But Jesus said, okay. Reverend Rose, he said, let me go on and clear the air on this. Right. And then he said, Simon, I got something to ask you. Go ahead, teacher. He said, check this out. I'm going to use modern vernacular for right now. Is that all right? He said, Brother Simon, if you had a creditor give you $100,000 to buy your house, and you couldn't pay him back, and then you had somebody else who had 10,000 and they couldn't pay you back, but what the creditor did is told both of them, your debt is clear. Which one do you think loves him more? And he said, well, I, not because again, he's trying to use the intellectual answer. Well, I suppose the one that had the larger debt. He said, you are absolutely correct. And then he went on to just let him understand. He said, bro, you are like the person that owed the 10,000, or in this case, 50. Because you ain't white. Give me the water for my feet. Girlfriend been taking care of my feet. You ain't give me the greeting of a kiss. You haven't even anointed my head with oil to give me the God's blessings upon me. But this woman has anointed, put ointment on my feet and been kissing them the whole time. Lord, look, she's still kissing them. All right. So in essence, those who have been forgiven little love little. But looking at what this woman has done, what she has done is showing me the great love she has for me. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, It's going to get tight. What kind of love do you have? Do you have little love? Or do you have great love? Well, if some folk will say, well, you know, in my life, you know, I'm saved and all, but I ain't really done a whole lot wrong. So that's how come when they come to church, they figure that since they're in church, they're doing God a favor. Because I ain't never really left the church. I was just doing my dirt and just coming to the church, but I didn't do that much. But when I look over at that person over there, and I know how they used to live and what they used to do. You see, that's why Jesus gave the parable about the two who came to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee. One was a sinner. The Pharisee came up to the front of the altar telling God all the stuff he had done and all he's doing. And then he concluded his prayer with like, I'm thankful I ain't like that sinner over there. So that right there tells me the kind of love he had was little love. Because he felt that he ain't done a whole lot wrong in order for God to give him a big forgiveness. You see, he only had $50 worth, whereas the other dude realized who was there, who was a sinner, who beat upon his breast and would not even come close to the altar and said, God, forgive me, for I am a sinner. Jesus said that man went home in better shape than that Pharisee who came up to the front and thought he was all out of bag of chips, two sodas, and a shake on the side. Because he realized that the Lord was doing a great thing for him. You see, my brothers and my sisters, I'm coming at you right now. I don't want you to get mad at me, but the Lord that we serve wants to cut you at the heart. Because if he hits you at your feet, that ain't going to hurt but just for a moment. I want you to realize, what kind of love do you have? If you think God ain't had to do much for you because you had it all together except one or two things, then what you are saying is that, Lord, I ain't got nothing but a little love. But for those folk in here who understand that I done did some stuff, I've been toe up from the flow up. If the Lord hadn't stepped in my life, I don't know if I'd be alive right now. Those are the folk that God is saying have great love for him. But I want to let you in on a secret. Every child of God ought to have great love. You know why? Because all of us had a debt that none of us could honor. All of us had a debt that none of us could pay. And if it had not been for Jesus, who came and died on the cross for our sin, don't you know we would be covered in our debt because we couldn't pay it back. So when we look at what the Lord has done for us, every child of God ought to have great love, which means that none of us ought to sit here like a bump on the log. We all ought to praise God because he's been mighty good to us. Has he brought you a mighty long way? Has he turned your life around? Has he met you in the midst of your stuff? I tell you, every child of God ought to have great love because he is a great God. And we ought to praise him for all that he's done for us. Do I got a witness in God's house? Anybody going to praise him? Anybody want to thank him? We all ought to have what, y'all? Great. Go on, sit down for a minute. Go on, sit down for a minute. Because somebody trying to hurry me along because you don't want to hear no more then. Hold on, no, we ain't hurrying. We ain't hurrying. We ain't hurrying. I want you to understand something. I want you to see something. If we're going to worship God with great love, it ain't just money. Money is a necessity that we need because it is a resource. But if you feel that it ends because you can write a big check, no. Keep writing. We want you to write the big check, but I want you to understand. But it ain't for us. It's for the glory of God. But we all got to start somewhere. But what I want you to understand this day, that our love for God and our worship for God has to be more than our money. And I want you to see something when you look at this woman, because I didn't give you the whole story on her. You see, whenever a Jewish woman walked in the public, she normally did not walk with her hair down. Her hair was normally up in a bun, because a woman's glory for the Jews were her hair. So she was only to show and let her hair down when she got married to her husband, because he was the only one who was to see her glory. But I want you to see something, that when this woman came at the feet of Jesus, she came at his feet, she wiped, she poured her tears on his feet, and once she poured her tears on his feet, she realized she had to clean it. She felt her hands wasn't enough, so girlfriend said, I got to expose who I am. There is no shame in my praise, so I'm going to take my hair out and let the Lord see my glory, because I realize something, that the Lord has blessed me, and now I'm going to be a blessing to the one who blessed me. And since I'm going to be a blessing to him, I'm going to take my hair and I'm going to dry his feet. I don't care what they're saying all around me. They just don't know what the Lord has done for me. They just don't know how he has blessed me. They just don't know how he turned me around. They just don't know the impact he had on me. They just don't know what my life was like. They might have seen it from the outside, but I was living it from the inside. So I am wanting the Lord to know just how much I love him. And what I have is great love. This woman is showing all of us something. If we say I'm blessed to be a blessing, why ain't you blessing the Lord? What? Why I got to bless the Lord? Why did this woman do what she did? What makes you better than her? So whenever we come into God's house, Jeanette, we got to let our hair down. When I say, I mean that, I'm speaking metaphorically, but that's what we need to do. If we ever come up in here all tightened up, quenching the spirit in this place, there's somebody who would have received the blessing, but you hindered and quenched the spirit in you, that they didn't receive the blessing that they should have got while they were here. And all the enemy was telling you is that it don't take all that. It don't take all that noise. It don't take all that clapping. I ain't got to stand all the time. I ain't got to shout all the time. Well, you know what? I thank God that he ain't never closed his eyes on me, not for one nanosecond, that he always had his eyes on me. And since he's always blessing me, I know that I am blessed. And since I know I am blessed, before I could be a blessing to somebody else, I got to be a blessing to the one who blessed me. And his name is what? So whenever we come in God's house, we going to come and we going to bring a blessing. It ain't always how big the check is. It's about what are you willing to do while you're here? Are you going to worship him? Are you going to praise him? Are you going to thank him? Are you going to let it be known? I ain't got to wait for pastor to tell me to thank God. I know to thank God. I ain't going to wait for the choir to sing for me to praise God, because I already got my praise. I brought my praise with me. I might can't hold a note the way you can, but I can still praise God. He has been mighty good to me. I couldn't stand if the Lord hadn't blessed me. I'm blessed to be a blessing. And Lord, I'm going to bless you with everything that I have. And as I do that, you're going to bless me and allow me to take everything I have and be a blessing to. Do you see it? My brothers and sisters, where others will look at this situation and we think that the focal point is Jesus
and Simon the Pharisee. The focal point of this story is this woman whose life was changed. And when her life was changed, she ain't care what anybody else said. You see, she might have came up in there and everybody's sucking their teeth. Just like somebody might come up in here because they heard the word of God, might even looked us up and heard us on the internet, came up in here with jeans on, came in here with a t-shirt on. Yeah. And you know what? And when they breathe, Lord, like, Lord, they must have smoked a joint before they got here. But they're here. But the reality is that God brought them to this place. And if we turn our backs on them, it would have been like Jesus turning his back on his woman. And he would never have done that. So we as a people of God should never put ourselves in a position to where we are turning our backs on anybody. But what we ought to do is stretch our arms out to everybody and let them know that there's a healer in this place. There's a deliverer in this place. There's a way maker in this place. There's love in this place. There's peace in this place. And guess what, y'all? There's joy in this place. And since there's joy in this place, Sister Davis, we ain't gonna shut up. We gonna praise our God because he's been mighty good to us. That's why we gotta thank him. That's why we gotta praise him, because we serve a mighty good God. And what are we gonna give our God? Great love. Great love. Because I know I couldn't be here if it had not been for the love he showed me. And based on the love he showed me, I got to show him that I love him more. And that's called great love. And it's not that you are competing with me and I'm competing with you. We all are giving God our own version of our great love. What that means is that you don't hold back. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, let it go. You see, I want you to understand that if you know how good God has been to you, don't you dare hold back your praise. Don't you dare hold back your worship. Don't you dare hold back your checkbook. Because I want you to understand, if it had not been for the Lord, how could you even write a check? If it had not been for the Lord, how could you even clap your hands? If it had not been for the Lord, how could you see all that you see right now? You see, my brothers and my sisters, you couldn't get involved with ministry if it had not been for the Lord blessing you to do what you do. Do I got a witness in God's house? Great love is what God is looking for from his people. He ain't looking for folks sitting up in church like this. Don't, even if they don't take all that. Eugene got to get up there and sing and move around. Don't take all that. Every time Pastor let Reverend Rose talk, Lord, he got to go up to the mic and talk about 4 or 5 minutes. It don't take all that. Pastor, every time he stands to preach, he take that coat off and move around. He just want everybody to know he lost weight. It don't take all that. You know what that's called? Little love, Marilyn. You're majoring in the minors and minoring in the majors. Great love is all about you coming through them doors and saying, Lord, I'm here. I'm to praise you. I'm going to thank you. Even if I got to do it all by myself, I don't care who ain't going with me. They don't know my story. They don't know all you've done for me, how I was a wrench and how I was lost, how I was messed up. But, Lord, you delivered me. You made a way for me. Lord, I know I still got some stuff I ain't quite right in. But, Lord, I'm going to come and give you great love.
And as I give you my great love, I know you're going to fix me, Lord. You're going to heal me, Lord. You're going to deliver me, Lord. You're going to make a way for me, Lord. I don't care what they ain't doing around me, but I'm going to thank you. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to magnify you. I'm going to let my hair down because you are a mighty good God. You deserve all my praise. If I had 1,000 tongues, I couldn't praise you enough. But I'm going to praise you with all that I have. And I thank God. We ought to give God our great love. God wants our best. And when we come and give God our best, you know how the Lord will send us away? Your faith has saved you. You know what he then says? Go in peace. You see, some of us have so much hell in our lives that we have not allowed God to get in the midst of it. We're going to do a sermon here one day to show folk how to get the hell out. I haven't preached that down here. I preached it up in Jersey, but I ain't preached nothing like that down here. Because we wasn't ready for it before, but we're getting ready for it now. And what we're going to let folk know, we're going to tell folk how. We're going to ask the challenges, well, will you go to hell? Will you teach folk how to say hell no? Will you raise the hell out of their lives so they can live a life of great love? Because it's all about the great love, y'all. It's all about us giving God our very best. And if we give God any less, we lose. Because when Jesus came, Deacon Diane, he ain't give us just a little. He gave us his all. And since he gave us his all, why do we think that we can give God any less? Deacon Emma, I want you to understand that I know sometimes in our lives that you know, there are loved ones that have gone on home before us, but we still got to give God our great love. I understand, Deacon Jones, that, you know, you love Deborah, and I know Deborah loved you, but you understand that the Lord is still having you here for a purpose, and since you are still here, God wants you to give him your what? Great love. I know that Deacon Rosa, you've been through some stuff and you done had some surgery, but you still realize I got to give God my great love. When you know, when you understand just how good God has been and is to you, there's no way you're going to act like he ain't done nothing for you. You see, when you know he's been good, you got to give him your what? Great love. In the midst of your storm, you got to learn how to continue to praise him, Tiffany. You got to give it all to him because he is a mighty good God, and God wants our great. It's up to us. It's in our bunk. It's left up to us to do it. Stop putting off and say somebody else ought to lead. Every child of God is a leader. I'm going to let that sink in. You want to know more about that? Come to Bible study. So I encourage you this day. Whenever you step up in here, JB, we ain't half stepping. We full stepping. Because the Lord has blessed us to be able to take that step. So we ain't going to half step nothing. Because God wants the very best that we have. Because what did he give to us?